Today's program has been brought to you by Roberta's Pizza, robertaspizza.com.
This is Mike Edison, host of Art Senses a Seizure, as you're listening to the Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, please visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
What's up, people? This is the Reverend Spiro, and this is Eating Disorder. I'm here with Crazy Legs Conte, my co-host.
I usually am hungry and focused, but we've already eaten our allotment of pizza, and I had some cider, so I'm satiated.
Chef Paul Girard will not be meeting us tonight. He is busy.
I think he's dyeing his hair. I just learned this off air. That, having met his kid yesterday and wondering why he didn't have the same color hair, I now learned.
Yeah, no. And he's dyeing it with shoe polish, yes, as the greaser that he is.
That's true. He did have an impressive weather.
So how was your weekend, man?
My weekend was good. I had a lot of visitors in from Beantown. I had my father, his wife, and I had a gaggle of the Real Housewives of the suburban Boston scene, all my buddies' wives, who are a lot of fun. So I actually was bartending at a full bar. I was just giving away free booze under the auspices of drink tickets. They give you these little drink tickets. So the Bertani Secco at $24 a glass. My dad drank about three quarters of a bottle. I was like, yeah, it was one drink ticket's worth. So, but it's good. But you had a familial weekend as well.
I officiated my niece, Stacy Panisopoulos, shout out, my niece's wedding. I am a reverend, and mm-hmm, I am truly a reverend. I can actually marry you, bury you, or baptize you, again, in New York. And it was fantastic. There was a lot of Greek cursing. There was a lot of Greek yelling. There was a lot of Greek dancing, and there was a lot of Irish drinking, which was her husband's understanding, though,
you are a reverend, but you are not affiliated with any specific church or religion,
nah.
And everyone in your family is fine with that, with the exception of one person.
Oh, my mom was giving me the dirty eye the whole time. She was giving me the stink eye like you would not believe.
And that's got to be a tough position, because at the same time, she's joyous and happy, she's also very angry. And,
no, you don't know my mom. She was just angry.
All right. But it went well. Screw up anything?
No. I my problem is, okay, I've done this a couple of times, and every time, my problem is I get misty.
Really?
No, I do. I get misty. I get a little. I'm getting a little misty now.
All right. You know? Well, I will change tactics then and make you less misty. I'm bewildered. You've obviously come off a weekend where you performed great for the family. So we get free pizza from Roberta's, which is right outside our repurposed shipping container, which is a radio station. And there's a first date table, and there's a courtyard, and a tiki bar, and a garden. And we get an allotment of two pizzas a show. Sometimes we opt for a pizza and a salad.
Yep.
Tonight, now I normally coordinate with Liz, the engineer, and the menu, we usually have an old menu. But you ordered two of the same pizzas.
Yeah, because it just meat.
Is this your number one pizza at Roberta's?
Yeah, I saw it on, Liz goes, I don't have a menu, go figure it out. I was like, all right, fine, all right. I was like, this one, two, meat, two. Give me that.
Amazed, though. We have some, one guest who's been here before, one new guest tonight, which we'll introduce in a minute. And the notion of just ordering like two of the same, I don't even know what the analogy is. It's like shooting foul shots and hitting the backboard
every
time.
There's two slices fucking left. It was a hit.
It was delicious.
All right?
It was delicious. Don't get me wrong. It just bewildered me. I'd never seen an ordering style like that. It's like Laverne and Shirley. Which one drank the milk and Pepsi together? So.
Oh, God.
But that's milk just two Pepsi, drinks that you remain separate. But anyway, tell us.
That's like the Italians who drink the Coke and the red wine.
Have you heard about that?
Oh, my God. Oh,
it's like, not a red wine spritzer, though. It's something else.
It's like Pepsi and red wine. It's
right.
This thing that Italians and Bensonhurst, where all my friends used to be, they would drink Italian. I have no clue what it's called, but it's awful.
This guy, Jonathan Messina, this actor who's a waiter where I work, he pours the Planeta Rosé into his concoction, which is Diet Coke and cranberry, but it's not even real cranberry. So he's getting the worst of both.
Yeah, but that's like a mocktail.
But he pours in, he on the side pours in some rosé.
Okay.
It's got some booze. But anyway, speaking of not booze, but speaking of what you should be, while you drink, you should be listening to something, right? Music, maybe? Is that the segue? What segue would you like to have?
The segue is this. I mean, we got today's guest is our friend David Castillo.
Hello.
David Castillo is the owner of St. Vitus. St. Vitus and Over the A, two wonderful Williamsburg establishments. And our other guest is Ira Kogan, who's been here before. Ira, say hi.
Hi.
Ira just nodded his head. He knows we have a very big visual radio, like we like to call it.
Who is the doorman at Grand Victory and has been the doorman at other places, which we'll discuss.
Oy vey.
You know, but I wanted to talk I wanted to talk tonight a little bit about the neighborhood, but also a little bit about rock and roll and how hard it is to open a rock and roll establishment that isn't Live Nation or isn't AG or isn't, Bowery in New York. And let's talk a little bit about St. Vitus.
Sure.
We've known each other for a while, and one of the things I want to point out is when he opened Over the Eight, it was opened in a kind of
notorious locale
across the street from my house.
Notorious why?
And we'll call it
historically notorious. Neighborhood residential. Well,
let's call the place it was opened at called Schmoyle Schmoke.
Okay. Schmoyle.
Yeah, and it was a horrible place where it was one of those woohoo places where 4 a.m. on a Monday, I want to come down with a baseball bat with a nail in it and kill the owner because 4 a.m. we're getting woo.
The girls, the sorority girls, or gentrified white people?
The coke.
Who's the bad guy?
Okay.
The coke. Pepsi or Coke. Yeah.
So when the place reopened, we were a little lawless. Yeah, we were a little like, hey,
All right.
But Bob Johnson, our friend Bob Johnson, said, "No, Dave's a good guy, and he's going to take care of it. Don't worry. It's not going to be the same."
It wasn't.
You opened a great place that I love going and the people in the building love going to.
Totally.
But let's talk about St. Vitus. I mean, how did it happen? It was a tough time when you opened it. It wasn't the best economy.
No way.
It wasn't. I mean,
it was almost 4 years ago now. It'll be 4 years in April, which sounds insane to even say out loud, but it's true. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of one of these things where we're just friends who've been doing this sort of stuff for a while, playing in bands and, Artie Shepherd and George Solitis, two obviously really good friends of mine. Artie plays in a band called Primitive Weapons that I'm in, which predated
later on.
And, Artie was just like, yo, we're going to start at this bar, me and George, which made sense. They were kind of career bartenders, worked at Matchless for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just kind of bartending and throwing shows like independently on my own all over the place, Charleston, Santos Party House, etc. And one day Artie was like, yo, man, we signed a lease on a place. I was like, holy shit, So he takes me over there and I was like, are you going to do shows here? 3 months later, they build the place, three, 4 months later, and he brings me into it. And I was like, holy shit. I was like, this is amazing. If I could do anything to help. And he's like, yeah, we want you to like do this.
And now St. Vitus, primarily a metal venue. Was that the idea from the inception? Because that's the music you play, your buddies play. So the notion was like...
It pretty much was that. I mean, all of us come from kind of like punk rock and New York hardcore and metal. And I think all of those kind of different musics have like a similar diaspora in like the area.
Okay.
And, you could trace it back to Lemours and Seabees and, even like Coney Island High.
Okay.
And that was sort of the inspiration. It was really like New York rock clubs and like what that was. And, definitely,
By the time you opened, all those places had been gone.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
I come from a polka background. So, but I did see the Don as at Coney Island High. I saw a couple shows at CBGB's, Porn Rock, my good friend, at Porn Rock. But, one thing, I guess the only metal place I knew, which didn't have shows, was Bellevue. which the owner or the guy who had all the stuff, Jimmy, I think, opened up Duff's. But those were those are just bars for drinking devoted to heavy metal. I don't know of any place that was very specific to that one genre. So was this sort of groundbreaking, even though you had the historical precedent of these other places?
I think it was something that was sort of needed. I wouldn't say groundbreaking because of the history, but I just think it sort of situated a place where it wasn't your super small show.
Okay.
But it was like this mid-level, more of a club, a little bit more production, where you could be a band and then you can kind of... There needed to be a middle step, you know, where you could kind of grow out of like smaller rooms to play in the mid-sized room and then maybe getting up to playing, you know, like... Bowery Ballroom, which is, you know, twice the size of our spot, you know? So I think that that was kind of what we were looking for, and also for it to be, like, a little bit more of a hang, you know? The place is kind of in between.
All these places have mosh pits, though.
Well,
right?
I mean, same as, you know, Ira can tell you a little about mosh pits, but we'll get into that in a minute. I want to get into, Ira, I want to talk about, like, basketball shorts and mosh pits.
Speaking of basketball shorts, the last show I went to at St. Vitus was the Fahrenheit 451 reunion.
Oh, wow. Oh, that is so
there
basketball
were
shorts.
A lot of basketball shorts.
Because guys wear
Fahrenheit
basketball
shorts? It was Fahrenheit 451.
And you are a shorts
fight.
Wearer. You
I
know?
Wear shorts year round, but not. I'm so ignorant of the scene. My image of this, like, I know a lot of guys who wear sweatpants, no underwear, take Viagra and ecstasy, and go to the strip club.
No,
punk rock scene, I'm thinking you wear basketball shorts. Why?
To mosh.
Because
it's comfortable.
Loose fitting?
It's comfortable. Yeah. Okay. There was a time in my life.
It can get very athletic.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, it's easy.
In the club.
It's danceable clothing.
All right.
Yeah. Free form.
Is there a cutoff point for metal bands? I know. You go see Barry Manilow, no mosh pit, obviously. You go see Fish, no mosh pit.
You haven't seen me at Barry Manilow,
Is there a cutoff for certain bands that are like, we don't want a mosh pit? Of a certain kind of music in... I know there's a lot of different varieties. Ira, I've seen a couple of your bands.
Oy vey.
I was trying to remember a Meow Mix show from a few years ago.
Meow Mix.
Because Ira did this one thing I loved, which was said, I want to thank everybody for coming. And then he went around the room and thanked every single person individually by name.
Well, it wasn't a lot
like,
of people.
Thank you, Reverend. That's thank tough. You, Dave. Thank you, Ira. Yeah, which was great. Yeah. And it was at a lesbian bar, so that was even better. But you played different. You played psychedelic...
Not in that band is like a straight up rock and roll band.
But metal has different genres.
I think that
subcategories.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, everything's sort of really fractured in that way. You know, you can kind of micro analyze and, you know, kind of look into so many different shades of I think any sort of music, really, depending on how schooled you are at it.
All right.
But
all those genres, though, guys in basketball shorts, what are they
that
wearing?
That is not true.
Basketball
shorts. Basketball shorts is more particular to hardcore.
Hardcore. All right. What are they wearing up top? Tie and vest? What is semi-formal?
That's not basketball jerseys.
Yeah. All right. No, so you know, I've never really seen full outfit. It's usually either.
Yes.
Basketball shorts, band T-shirt, or basketball jersey,
and
cargo shorts.
Basketball shorts, there's something sexual going on. I don't know what it is. Like jock straps
it's
or
very
something. Prime. I don't know. Yeah, all right.
Well, you know, there's a whole like athletic wear aesthetic that was sort of associated with the early youth crew movement.
Okay.
And so it was like all these cats who kind of dressed like... It was almost like a streetwear kind of thing, almost a little more hip-hoppy. It would be like, you know, Nikes and then like basketball shorts and stuff like that.
Shorts
and then
below
like,
the knee.
Yeah, and stuff like that. And it was really picked up from very similar things around that time.
But hip-hop has specific brands that are associated with it. Does hardcore... Because this seems like a perfect opportunity for somebody to get on board the way that Tap Out did for...
Oh, yeah.
No, I mean, it's real simple. Like,
mosh pit.
It was like Faygo is like the...
Mosh pit clothing,
you know?
Yeah, why not?
Faygo
is the St.
Clown
Posse.
What's the name of the brand? What should I be wearing?
There's a guy named Rat Bones who's got a line of clothing.
Really?
Just Google it.
I don't want to buy anything from a guy named Rat Bones.
Sure you do.
He's fantastic. I love the guy.
Really?
I almost wore a Rat Bones shirt tonight.
All right. All right. I'll take their advice. I'll be at ratbones.com later.
And generally, bands put out merch. Get some of that.
True, true. Well,
so there's your clothing.
I bought it. You guys are going to kill me for this. I saw Motley Crue at the last show they're doing. Or the
I was there, too, dude.
I
was there.
You were there.
Feed My Frankenstein.
Alice
opening up, killing it.
That was amazing. That was really good.
He was amazing.
He was really good. He had all the props. It sounded good. The only thing I didn't think was very punk or rock and roll of him. Did you notice he had kind of a utility tool belt where he would put his microphone? It had a little attachment where the drill went. You thought that was
that
cool?
That was, okay, if you read DC Comics right now, that's what the Joker does. He's got a utility belt. He throws all his torture equipment.
Yeah, but this was a microphone. It was badass, really? See, yeah, I don't know. I'm so out of touch.
Dude, think about it this way, bro. You got a stage that's the size of this whole fucking, you know, quasi-Italian, right, like, compound that we're in.
Right.
And you're going to fucking throw your microphone down. That thing could be 30 feet away from you. And if you all of a sudden, you're, like, getting turned into, like, you know, a fucking monster, and then you have to go find it
but
again.
But that's why it's on a stand.
Keep it.
That looked like the fanny pack of rock and roll to me.
But he did, like, four costume changes, and his guitarist was a hottie.
Oh, she was very hot.
Oh my God.
Beautiful.
She was hot.
Beautiful, yeah.
Yeah. She was amazing.
And he had the dude,
like the Wolfman dude with the big chops.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking
totally Wolverine going on.
Yeah, he had a cool looking band. Yeah. And all of them were shredded.
What'd you think of Motley Crue?
I thought it was, you know what I think? Honestly, when I was growing up a lot, I didn't go to very big shows a lot. I was going to like these more intimate punk rock and hardcore shows. And now that I'm older, I'm actually really interested to just see like the biggest shows possible. Like,
I've been doing
and
that.
What goes into them too.
Okay, his drum solo was fun, but it was slow with the.
It was a roller coaster,
but it was still.
But it was
so
the slowest roller coaster.
It was very
in
slow. He was rotating 360 degrees, which is cool. Yeah. Except when you do it at, I don't know, when you
two
do
two miles
it, like,
an hour,
it's not very exciting, but. But
it would have
been
super sweet if he
wasn't.
It also just like it was like his own show within the show. It was such like a big break. But I mean, those songs are pretty much like if you enjoy them, like you just the energy in the building was really good, and you could just close your eyes and just think of every fucking word.
I grew up on those songs, and honestly, I look at Motley Crue as a stupid misogynist, you know.
Exactly. It's American
dumbass,
knucklehead
shit. It is.
Oh,
it truly is.
All right.
Right? Dressed in eyeliner.
All right.
Right? But yet, you know, it's. I hear Girl Don't Go Away Mad. I'm like, yeah.
All right, tell me you were wearing eyeliner. All right, so let me ask you this. What would be some bands that you haven't had at your venue that you're hoping to land?
Oh man, there's I have always like a long list
close to my
heart. One band I'd love to have in is a band called Electric Wizard.
Okay.
Which is just one of the great doom and rock bands, European band. Would love to have them, but if we're talking like big board, like anyone,
you
know,
dream
man. Pick. Soundgarden.
Oh, all right, okay.
You know,
which could happen because you'd figure they'd want to play. Smaller,
you know,
more intimate
what's happened too is that
he had
insane shit has gone down. I'm never going to put a cat. No limits, man.
I
want to
throw
this
out there. I mean, I called him one night and I'm like, it was the night after the rock and roll.
The Nirvana esque thing.
Well, what it was the rock and roll.
So the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame
in Brooklyn. Yeah,
yeah. And he had like Joan Jett at the place.
She has a clothing line for women juniors at Hot Topic, and I ordered a sweater in 3X. It's the largest size they make, and I was trying to get a conversion. I'm like, what is a women's junior 3X in an adult male size? And it didn't work on the internet. That's a tough chart to find, I think. $26, a distressed sweater with a heart on it. And I was like, forget it. I love Joan Jett that much. I'll wear
it. It was a wild night. So basically what happened was they got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They performed with all these female singers.
Uh-huh.
And about a couple of days before, we got these cryptic sort of calls and shit. And basically Dave Grohl wanted to do a party, ended up being at Vitus.
Nice.
And he did this party, and it was like, this guy, you know, biggest night, like his mom is like everybody, you know, they're all coming from this spot. They're all like disheveled, like suits, like uncle at the end of the fucking party. Yeah. Like, and then like what he decides to do is play like 17 more Nirvana songs with like Kim Gordon, Jay Maskus, Joan Jett.
Even I've heard of these people.
Yeah. And it was just totally fucking insane.
All right.
I don't know.
So you already have the dream. Now, Ira, you're
A-Dream.
You're ahead of security at a music venue.
Ira's got the hard job, yeah.
What would be the worst? Now, we got the best.
What's the...
I want to know what the worst band you could imagine having to do security
for. You know, what's
for.
Funny is the worst band I could have imagined when they showed up turned out to be mad cool. Bob Johnson, A Scenic Presents, was...
Love Bob Johnson.
Why did you think they
we
were
all
gonna,
love
why,
Bob
why
Johnson.
Why did you think they were going to be the worst?
No. They're a great band. Yeah. They have a reputation. Perhaps you've heard of them. They're called the Dwarves.
Yes!
Oh, I
know. And Bob, I get a text. I can't remember how I got notified, but I didn't know till that night we were going to have a surprise show of the Dwarves at midnight.
What are some of the
things? And I'm by myself.
What are some of the things they've been known for doing wrong?
I'll just Google them when you get home.
No, our listening audience has
to
know.
No. Visual radio. It's that many wrong things.
Yeah, there's a lot of so.
Like Gigi Allen level wrong things.
They don't throw poop.
Ain't nobody like Gigi.
All right.
Well, anyway, so I thought it was going to be a nightmare. I was, I was security by myself that night. They showed up. They rocked the house.
Okay.
They were super friendly to everybody. Most professional. One of the more professional bands I ever dealt with, and that kind of shocked the shit out of me
because
the whole set, I was like, oh, for fuck's sake.
It's
this could go either way, and it turned out to be fantastic.
Well, speaking of that music, let's take a break.
Yeah, we're going to take a break. We're going to play Dave, one of your songs from Primitive Weapons.
Yeah, man.
You know, and we'll be back soon.
Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
Dude, that is fucking spooky as
creepy
shit.
Creepy as shit. What the fuck was that?
Really? I fucking love
Roberta's too, by
you
the way.
Found the voice is creepy? I actually really enjoyed that song. What was the title of that song? While you're mid-bite on your Roberta's pizza. You can talk with your mouth full.
I'm trying to cut through a thick layer of supper stop, man. That's called Death of Boredom.
All right. Now, I'm going to ask this as a neophyte to the hardcore metal thrash scene.
I like that.
Am I supposed to understand any of the lyrics, or is that besides the point?
It's case by case, well, I think.
Yeah. I think so, too.
All right.
As you listen to more of that kind of music,
it
becomes easier to decipher.
Okay, all right.
You know, like, when I first heard it, I was just thinking about the extremity of it all. I was like, holy shit, you know?
Right.
And then when you can kind of calm down and really understand what's going on. First thing I wanted to do was just run around like an idiot in basketball shorts.
Of course.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, but when it comes down to hardcore and a lot of the hardcore and a lot of the grindcore and all that kind of stuff, honestly, I'm a musician too. I've been playing for a long time. I play in a shitty bar band. But when I listen to hardcore, I could care less about the lyrics. Honestly, what I care about is the frustration level it allows me to release.
Oh, so it's like displacement. Like his yelling and screaming is helping you get it out. But I actually felt that song was very musical. I know that may sound insulting, but I heard all the music
there's rhythm
in it.
Involved.
Yeah. I was bopping my head. I was tapping my feet.
A little
bang. Reminded me of when I was a kid and I used to listen to the Lawrence Welk show.
I want to talk about a couple of things. I want to talk about basically the guys we got in the room today have been in the neighborhood for a while. Mm. And I just want to talk about where the neighborhood is, where it's gone, where it's going. Again, you opened over the 8 across the street from my place, right?
Yes. And which is in Williamsburg.
Yeah, you became a good neighbor. I remember going over there one night, completely oblivious. I went there to meet my girlfriend and Steve Buscemi and...
the Buscemi night.
It was Buscemi and what's her name from...
not Gina Gershon.
No, Garofalo.
Garofalo
was there. I actually ushered her in.
Yeah,
like a bouncer. One. You know, and that was pretty interesting in itself.
We become this odd spot for like comedy and literary readings, and like all these kind of like fun little things. So we've gotten to do some really cool stuff there, and you know, it's not a music venue because obviously, you know.
Well, I want to talk about that. Yeah, but how does it? Okay, when you can't do the music, tell us a little bit about what the challenges are there, because you have neighbors that weren't as happy as we were.
No, they were fucking pissed. They were so mad. Weren't
they happy that you got rid of the sorority girls?
Well, I guess so. I guess I think the problem was that they viewed the business as, you know, like a continuance of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't think they really understood or gave us a shot to do what we were trying to do anyway. They're like, they heard it was going to be a bar and not a restaurant. Right. And all of a sudden everyone was a little up in arms.
Right.
I was like, yeah, man, we're going to have parties. We can do other stuff too. But I think that we knew how to run things a little bit more in a little more tangible and responsible sort of way. And we just knew what kind of crowd we wanted and like, you know, what we sort of wanted to be. And so I think we were on that kind of path, and you know, I can understand, you know, people, you know, it can be a nuisance. Mm-hmm. It depends, you know, and you have to kind of spend time and money to make sure as much as you possibly can that you're not, you know.
Okay.
and it's also a bit of a back and forth too, you know, because people have to realize that you live in New York City. If you want quiet, yo, man, I got a spot in New Jersey for you.
They never realize that.
No, but at the same time, his place, opened, it was a different neighborhood. You gotta admit.
Absolutely.
What, like, a different how? It was a in the old fact school? That, like,
no.
Little
in the
old
fact
ladies?
That around, yes, to some point.
4,000 condos opened up.
Oh, wow.
It's like Legoland on his block right now. It's ridiculous. Right. It's insane.
It is.
You know, do those people actually show up?
Oh yeah, totally.
They do.
It's really cool. I mean, I think that the demographics change and they'll show up for different stuff. You know what I mean? Like depending like where you're at. You know, so basically we kind of like program the spot in a pretty wide way. But like you go in Sunday and watch like a football game and there's a bunch of people there. But some of these folks are also, you know, art directors and designers and super into like a lot of different stuff that were there. So I've gotten to know a bunch of my neighbors, like in different ways, and you know, and some folks just like are more family oriented too. Right. So it's like they go for that, like the early time stuff.
How do you feel? How do you feel about the stroller in the bar?
Stroller in the bar.
It's hard to move those big guys when they get drunk.
Seven or 6 o'clock.
Oh, I got you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and after that, it makes me kind of itchy.
Do you usually see that it's the dad bringing the stroller into the bar to not talk to the wife?
We got some good dad day drinkers.
Oh, nice.
There's a few out all there. Right. We won't incriminate the...
Do people have sex in the bathrooms?
I'm almost sure. Oh, all right.
That's kind of my criterion for a good bar.
So. At St. Vitus and over the 8, we've had a couple of... some broken equipment.
Wow, that you just attributed to Kama Sutra-like positions.
I think it got humped off.
That being said, I'd love to talk to Ira about that. I mean, Ira, one of the things that I loved...
I've had sex in the bathroom.
It was the night when you were at we'll call the bar Shane M, okay? When he used to work there.
Yeah.
When the guy from Oz, not Oz, from...
From Oz?
No, from Boardwalk Empire. He showed up that night. Do you remember that?
I don't think I was on shift that night.
Okay, and let's not talk about it then.
He had sex in the bathroom?
No. He let's hope so. Somebody pissed in the corner.
Oh.
Yes, he did show up that night.
That was he was there that night?
Yes, he was.
But he didn't piss in the corner. Let's not besmirch this actor's name who no one can remember.
Well, he was the guy who plays Chalky White on Boardwalk Empire, and he was there that night.
Oh, yeah?
He witnessed someone pissing in the corner.
Well, what happened? It got ugly.
It did get
ugly. Really? How so? And this is your head of security. So this is in your wheelhouse.
I was the only security.
You were the only security. So someone mitigates in the corner, and this is a... No?
I told the guy to get out.
Oh, he told him to get out after he pissed in the corner. Yeah,
he was with a bunch of his brother and a bunch of his friends,
and they didn't want to go.
No, actually,
they thought it was okay for them to pee in the corner.
Well, actually, the guy's brother actually knew the guy. He was a regular. The rest of his friends had been regulars. That guy had been locked up for a while. Had just gotten out.
Oh, all right.
So I told
him,
nice.
I told his brother, you got to get this guy out of here.
Right. Fair enough.
So, and this guy is going like full, you know, he's
full bladder.
Roided out, douchebag. Gotcha. He's going full rage.
Right. Yeah.
So his brother gets the guy out the door.
Yep.
My buddy Andre, who you, was right behind me.
Andre from the Knitting Factory?
No, Andre used to play guitar in a band called Step Too Far and band called American Noise. You know him if you saw him.
Yeah.
So I get the guy out the door. He belts me in the face.
Whoa.
And then his brother gets between us and backs him up. And cops showed up. Anyway, whatever.
How often does physical altercations happen?
In Williamsburg, not often. Most of the time, you just go.
Somebody
get out
slips on their bespoke tailored pants and they fall.
Well, okay.
Down.
Speaking of which, tell us the fur coat story.
The fur coat story.
Yeah, you actually put it on Facebook. You were like,
I had a fur coat. Haggling. Yeah. Right. Oh. Someone showed up in a fur coat and wanted to haggle with me.
About what? The price of their the cover charge.
Yeah.
In their fur coat.
Fur coat.
That's
really the whole story.
All right, that's good. I like it. It was short and sweet. Now I know Ira from when I was a shorter cook.
And there's a story there.
Well, there was a sandwich. I used to experiment.
You made me one of the best sandwiches.
Now I can
think
of two. I don't want to cheat it. So can you describe the sandwich to me?
It was crumpled hamburger meat, mayonnaise, French fries.
The all American
cheese. It was called the all American.
Yeah,
right.
I like the idea of crumpled.
It was a fun time
that was
in my life
better
that
than
restaurant.
The other sandwich, which was the pesto skid mark.
Oh, they.
<know? laughs> But we had celebs talking. You know, Monica Lewinsky came to our Christmas party.
I didn't want to out anybody.
Boom. Oh, sorry. We weren't supposed to say. She was lovely.
Oh, whatever.
That's not outing her.
Whatever. It's years later.
She was great. And
outing her as what? As Monica Lewinsky?
Well, a lot of people showed up there because they liked that people didn't blow up their spot.
Yeah, yeah. She would sit there with the regulars. Yeah. She liked poached eggs. She was
wonderful.
We had
Neil Patrick Harris. And I was very young. I was in my early 20s when he walked in.
Okay.
Went up to the counter. I got so excited, I screamed out, Doogie!
Yes.
And he was actually mad cool about it. He was like, hey, what's up,
That's
man?
Cool. That's cool.
Nice. And then Fomke Jansen was a regular. And she was great because as a shorter cook.
She's an X-Man.
If I saw a cute girl, I'd bring her out a plate of strawberries. And she was like, fuck the strawberries. I want extra bacon. I was like, you are the coolest chick. And she brought a lot of boyfriends there. None of them lasted. Just her dog Peppermint was
Peppermint.
Like the common
Peppermint's the way to her heart.
One of our alumnus from Grey Dog is playing in an incredible band right now.
I don't even know.
The Screaming Rebel Angels. Laura, I don't know if you remember Laura Rebel Angel. They're making some waves. If you're into rockabilly,
look out
for that name.
Wow, there you go. Yeah. I didn't even know. We've got some other alumni too, who are in the theater and arts and things like that. But so I don't know, Reverend, this has been an incredible show in terms of everything we've covered. Sandwiches, peeing in corners of bars, great music venues, bouncer altercations, fur coat haggling.
Drinking.
Steve Buscemi, yes. Janine Garofalo,
that's right.
Fomke Jansen, Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah.
Where do you want to finish us up with?
Well, we're going to finish it up with the fact that we were supposed to have Morgan Spurlock on this show today. Oh, all right. Today.
So you think a lot of people are waiting for Morgan to come.
I want to thank our guests who came in at the last fucking minute. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
And we should say Morgan will be on in December.
He'll be on in December. And we hope you feel better. We understand.
Yes, of course.
You know, that you're not feeling well. But that's pretty much all we got.
Yeah, that's good, though. Yeah. And we got some exciting guests coming up. I don't want to cheat and say who they are, but we've got an incredible horror film director. We've got an amazing, beautiful burlesque performer. Mm-hmm. I'm really looking forward to December.
More visual radio.
And heritageradio.org. You know, the Heritage Radio actually comes from Heritage Farms.
Yes.
And I'm excited because
you're doing a heritage bird.
I have a heritage. I don't know which kind. They tell you they send it the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, and it comes at 33 degrees FedEx. The shipping costs $50. I went for the 10-pound bird, $100. Mm. I cannot wait. I hear it's going to be mealy and gamey. I hope I get a bourbon red. I'm just saying. But whatever heritage bird comes in, I'm going
to
be happy. And we're thankful
from your
for
mouth
bird.
Wrap it in bacon.
Yes.
Wrap it in
bacon. No bacon will touch my bird. But gentlemen, all the way around, thank you for filling in. Thank you for being here.
Cheers. Yep.
Thank you.
That's it. Thanks so much.
We will see you guys very, very soon.
Later.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.